Previously on Strange Trails.
There was a huge crash very early in the morning at my house. Something heavy fell over in my basement.
You opened the blinds to try to look out. Right there in the reflection was the figure filling the whole doorway into the room. When he turned around, no one was there. But he was so shocked, he dropped his mixing bowl. Totally covered himself in flour and salt and milk.
Well, it only talks about an eclipse as far as the night he came to town, so they probably had no idea he was going to continue with that.
When was the run?
It's been around for decades. My parents knew it when they were in school.
Once you knew she was dead, you just
wrapped her in a blanket and brought her to the secret spot, and I buried her as deep as I could.
Well, there were two bodies found in the woods nearby.
Unidentifiable. Their dental records didn't match any on file. It definitely fed into that hermit theory a little bit. A couple of transients came through, started a fire, and it got out of hand.
The week and a half after our nightmare venture into the forest flew by. Over those 10 days, all of the information about the fentanyl ring based in the Sanderson mine came out, and being at Ground Zero in Garrison meant we saw all of the action firsthand. Raids, protests, and a swarm of federal agents dominated the talk of the small town, briefly drowning out our investigation. We laid low, allowing the process to play out with the officers who'd been caught making and distributing the drug. But all the while, we continued our research into how we would handle the Shadow Man. Amari and I had multiple discussions about the whole period, and looking back, it was a wild time. Quite suddenly, we found ourselves in a position of knowing, of being sure. For the first time since coming to Garrison, it seemed that things were fitting together, and we were seeing the whole picture. The police had taken advantage of the Shadow Man legend, and they used it as a cover to run their drug operation. Over the course of their almost 17-year illicit enterprise, they made roughly $43 million. That kind of money in a town like Garrison could have done a lot of good, but instead, it seemed that the police were so focused on their extracurricular activities that they lost sight of the crimes they were hired to prevent, namely, the murders committed by the Shadow Man. Though, of course, catching the Shadow Man would ruin their excuse to lock down the town whenever they needed to move product. So, instead, they let him be. And anybody who got in the way of their little secret would have hell to pay. Isaac Thompson lost his life for that reason, and Jordan Harris almost lost his. So, naturally, once Jordan was well enough to talk again, Amari and I went to visit him in the hospital to get his perspective on the events he'd unwittingly become a part of.
Hey, buddy. You doing okay?
Much better today. Doctor said another day or two and I should be good to go home.
What happened to you down there?
How did you end up in the mine?
Might as well get the FBI transcript. They ask me these same questions. I don't know what I'm allowed to say because it's technically an ongoing investigation.
Well, whatever you think you're able to.
Brian Sullivan says he saw you heading to the mine. Do you remember that?
Of course. That was right after I texted you.
Why did you send that so late? Or actually, why not have me come with you?
I just thought of it and went to go check out the mine. I remembered seeing the hermit in the Sanderson mine as a kid. It scared the shit out of me so much I never went into the forest alone again. I was so afraid I'd run into him, and then we were talking and it seemed like the mine could be a lead. I didn't want to get your hopes up for something and have it be nothing.
We would have just been glad you tried to help.
I should have told you where I was going. I just didn't think it was going to take that long to check it out, you know?
I know the feeling.
You know, I had a lot of time while I was down there to think, to really try to put things together. And what caught my attention was that as I was approaching the mine, there were no footprints at all. Just deer tracks. I didn't think anything of it for the first few days down there, but then it started to click. They were wearing special shoes to cover their tracks.
Yeah. We came across that same issue.
Oh, so I'm right then.
Very.
But the point is, I finally figured out what happened at my house a few months back.
With the loud crash?
And the radio that was somehow on?
And the deer tracks outside the Bilco door.
Oh.
I thought about the radio, because when that was on in the morning, I could hear it in my room. Clearly enough to know something was happening down there. But what I had heard the night before was... it would start and stop.
Like the radio was losing signal?
Or like there were actual people down in the basement talking quietly. We never figured out what made that crashing sound in the basement. And I started thinking that maybe we couldn't find anything that fell over because there was nothing to find. Maybe it wasn't the sound of something falling, but the sound of something slamming shut. Like the Bilco door leading into the basement.
So, if you heard people that night, then the crash was them leaving?
And the tracks outside tell us who it was.
Wouldn't the door have been unlocked when you checked the basement, though?
Well, that's the thing. Bryce came up and woke me up right after the crash, saying it came from my room. And then he went to the basement and opened the door loudly. I remember he dragged it across the floor because the wood had expanded. My guess is that before I got down there to check it out with him, he locked the Bilco door from inside. And then once I showed up, he made a show about how nothing had fallen over and how it must have come from my room. Fucking tried to make me feel like it was my fault somehow.
What were the people doing down there that night?
From what I now know, I think they were trying to sneak out some product from an off-lockdown night. And it must not have worked. Someone saw them, I guess, so they came to my house to lay low.
And you know this?
I could hear them talking about it when I was locked in the mine.
So what happened that day? When we were supposed to meet up?
I got to the mine maybe 2 hours before we were supposed to meet. Would have been plenty of time to get in and out and have something interesting to share for our date.
Oh.
It didn't work out that way. Again, I'm sorry.
You're in the hospital. I'll let it slide.
Well, I got there and no one was around, which was honestly creepy, and I felt like I shouldn't be wandering into an abandoned mine on my own.
You've had better ideas, for sure.
But then, when I went in maybe 100 feet and came around a curve, there were lights strung up along the ceiling, leading further in. I thought they were the hermits, so I debated leaving. But then I wouldn't have actually learned anything for sure, so kept walking, hoping I would see something or hear something that would, I don't know, help you figure out what's going on. About 600 feet in or so, I saw a wall, a man-made one, and a door with a keypad. It was not high-tech, but more than the hermit would have been able to pull off. I went up to it.
Don't go up to it. Jordan, buddy.
I know. I thought maybe it'd be unlocked, though, or propped open. I was too far away to be sure, so I went to check.
And?
I never reached it. Someone yelled out behind me, and I turned around to see two people shining flashlights in my face and approaching me. It took a second, but I finally figured out it was two officers. They asked me why I was in there, and then before I could answer, they asked if Bryce sent me. Which confused me. Why would my dad send me to an abandoned mine that apparently wasn't so abandoned?
So what'd you say?
No. I didn't know anything was wrong. I stupidly thought they'd follow me in to protect me. Like they thought I'd get injured. So I didn't even question why they were in the mine in the first place.
White people are so trusting of other white people.
I pointed out the wall, and they pretended not to know how it got there. At that point, I was just interested in seeing what was behind the door. I wasn't alone anymore, so I wasn't afraid of anything. They went to the door and then knocked on it. Another officer opened it, and they ushered me inside.
Jordan.
I grew up with these people, and it all happened so fast, I didn't have time to be like, wait a minute, before they kind of pushed me through, and then I saw the lab.
How big was it?
It was big enough. There were four other people in there, and it went deeper. They brought me toward where I thought the back was. That ended up being their storage room. Full pallet of the pills. So fucking many. I didn't know what it was yet, but I figured that out eventually. But they kept walking me forward, and then they finally opened another door, which just led to the mine again. Dark, undeveloped. But they kept their generator there, so it was loud. While I was still trying to figure out what the hell was going on, they shut the door behind me and locked it. And then I was stuck in the mine alone with no exit and fucking generator going so loudly and echoing so much, it hurt my ears. I banged on the door for a few minutes, but the noise was too much and they clearly weren't coming back for me anytime soon, so I moved further into the mine. There were no lights on that side of the lab. So I shuffled my way about 100 feet deeper where the generator wasn't so loud, but I could still see the door. And then I waited.
For over 3 weeks?
No. A few hours later, Bryce opened the door. He brought me inside and tried to talk to me, but I was angry and confused, and I couldn't hear clearly, so I got annoyed and started yelling at him about his officers. That was a bad idea. They were all still there, and they heard what I said.
What did he say?
He listened while I yelled and flipped them off, and then had them put me in a little side room that I hadn't noticed on the first trip through the storage area. It was tiny, barely wider than I am tall. I know because I had to sleep there. They locked that door and left me inside. Every now and then they'd let me out for food, but just a little bit. Like they didn't know what they wanted to do with me. That was when I realized Bryce had probably been considering asking me to join with whatever they were up to. But then I ruined it with my outburst.
If he could be convinced to lock you in a room for weeks because you yelled at him, then that's a him problem. I'm not sure he was expecting you to come around to his view.
I've kind of come to that same conclusion. They were going to kill me and blame it on the hermit.
What?
In the next couple days, I think, they didn't know what to do with me. And then Bryce, I think to him, I've been dead since I came out. This was just an excuse. He stopped them at first. They wanted me dead right when they found me, but he said no. And I think he came around to the idea of getting rid of me. His friends, one of them suggested it, and at first everyone laughed it off, but I could see something. A look in his eyes. It was like the gears were turning.
He was gonna kill you?
Or turn a blind eye.
Well, you're here now. You're safe, you're alive, and he's in jail for a very long time.
Thank you for coming. No one else has really shown up.
What about your mom?
Oh, she has, but no one else. It's been lonely.
Well, once you're out of here, you can hang out with us.
It was a lot to take in. Jordan had essentially been kidnapped by his own father and then almost killed to protect the secrets the police department had been hiding away in the mine. All of this while they used the story of Shadow Man to cover their tracks. I can't get past that. They knew people were being murdered by Shadow Man, and yet they continued to take advantage of the fear to lock down Garrison whenever it was convenient for them. Because when they didn't lock everything down, apparently they almost got caught. Like the night they had to hide in Jordan's basement to keep from being discovered, and he heard their voices. Bunch of barely competent criminals. It's amazing they got away with it as long as they did. I hope they enjoy the trials and prison sentences they'll all deservedly go through. But Enough about the fentanyl ring. We had a larger, more pressing issue at hand. Shadow Man, whatever it was still at large. Ava had gone to the library with Jesse to do some research and see if anything came up. Meanwhile, Omari and I got a call from yet another unknown number. I was getting used to that at this point. This call came at the direction of a woman named Doris Powell. Her granddaughter had called on her behalf. Unsure of exactly why her grandmother insisted on speaking with us from her deathbed, but she obliged. One day, while looking for something to talk about with her grandmother in the hospital, Macy Powell had brought up the investigation into Shadow Man she'd heard about around the town. At the time, Doris said nothing to indicate she was at all interested in the topic, but a few days later, she asked who was doing the investigation. And then a few days after that, she wanted to speak with us. Eventually, Macy was able to track down my number from one of our interviewees and gave me a call on behalf of Doris. She desperately wanted to see us, and though Macy insisted on the call that Doris likely had nothing useful to offer about murder she hadn't experienced, who was I to deny a dying lady her last wish? So, in the next wing over from Jordan's, we visited the hospice ward to meet with Doris Powell.
So, you're the two uprooting everything in this town to investigate Shadow Man.
That's us, ma'am.
Ma'am, call me Doris.
How old are you, Doris?
63. And yet here I am in hospice. Lung cancer will do that to you.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? You didn't smoke all those cigarettes.
So why did you call us here?
No, we're cutting right to the heart of it.
Well, we don't want to keep you. And we've got people we have to meet up with, so...
That must be nice.
We've got Tom, Doris. What would you like to talk about?
Thank you, Omari. But my programs are on soon. So I'm afraid this will have to be quick.
Well, do you know something about Shadow Man?
I do.
What would you like to share?
Oh, we swore we'd take this to our graves, and some of them did. But now, I have to tell someone. Warn them.
Warn us about what?
Always in a rush, this boy, isn't he?
Yeah, come on, Finn. Relax.
I'm just asking questions.
And we'll get to them. Let an old lady tell her story.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
It all began when I was 20 years old. When I was but a fair maiden, some would say.
Oh, I believe it.
Well, the year was 1977. Summer had just ended, and school was back in session. There were only a few good warm weekends left to party outside. My friends and I took advantage. We went to the swimming hole. It's a big party spot.
Oh, we've heard about it.
Do you talk over movies when you're watching them?
No.
Then don't talk over me when I'm telling my story.
God, you're blowing this one.
Oh, Mari is a good listener. Follow his lead.
Sorry.
Anyway, where was I?
The swimming hole.
Right. We laughed, we swam, we drank, and then we met some people we'd never seen before. Who were they, Doris? The interviewers asked, doing their jobs. Well, they were hermits, we think. We thought. I'm sure no one's thought about them lately.
Hermits?
Mm-hmm. Two of them.
Like the one that lives in the forest right now?
Well, lived.
You mean Francis?
You know him?
Know him? He was at the swimming hole with us. He's the one that got us to talking to these hermits in the first place.
So he wasn't always a hermit?
No, don't be silly. He started trying to live off the land a lot more after the fire. I think they rubbed off on him. Anyway, they stuck around with us for a bit, just looking for company. We thought that was wrong.
Why?
Well, they started talking about the occult, chants and rituals. You know the drill. And then they brought up one they said could summon a demon. None of us believed that. Demons aren't real, we thought.
Shadowman's a demon?
Do you flip to the last page of the book just to see how it ends before you even read it?
No.
Then stop doing that to my story. Anyway, where was I?
You were saying the hermits, they had a chant?
Yes. And we were just drunk and bored enough to want to try it. Only problem, they said, it requires hallowed ground. Whatever happened. But Francis knew, and he suggested a salted area. He knew, clear across town. It was almost an hour walk, and none of us was invested in the idea. Boys, I need a drink.
How about this?
Water? If you got anything strong.
We can go seltzer if you're feeling wild.
I'm always feeling wild. Feel a little guilty if the hermits did him in, and we had left him on his own. Carolyn and Raymond took a little more convincing. They were too busy smooching each other to want to come along at first. But eventually we all followed the footprints, caught up in town, and then went to the clearing together.
What time was this at?
Well, I know the clock at the center of town showed 2:15 a.m. when we crossed through.
So what happened at the clearing?
We followed the chant. The hermits were very insistent on that. Seemed we had to do it that night, what with the lunar eclipse and all. James found a stray cat, or that's what he called it. Sure looked well-groomed for a stray. But we had to sacrifice something, the hermit said.
You killed a cat?
I didn't!
You let a cat be killed?
Let the lady speak.
It was all so fast. But even before the blood hit the ground, all hell broke loose, almost literally. The ground shook so much, we all fell on our asses. Massive bruise. I couldn't sit straight for weeks. But there, in the center of the clearing, lava almost. I don't know how else to describe it. It was forming, bubbling up from the earth below. I thought we were sitting on a fresh volcano when we're all gonna die. And then the wind started howling, and all our hair got busy and stood up on end, and then boom, a bolt of lightning struck the lava, and suddenly the brightness from that was complete darkness. Slowly at first, but then almost coordinated, a form. It shaped into a humanoid shape. Was it a person? I doubt it very much. We were all in shock. And none of us could say anything. We got to our feet, The hermits were the only one who seemed prepared. They started talking between themselves for a second. I didn't hear what they said over the wind, but they grabbed their packs and ran off in the forest towards Mill Creek.
But isn't that the opposite direction of where their bodies were found?
Someone knows their history. And they returned a minute later with little pans they'd carried filled with water. Each of them tossed the water onto the lava. Maybe it was a misguided attempt to stop what was happening. I don't know. I do know it didn't work. It just pissed off the Shadow Man. He sort of screeched when they did it, and then started waving an arm or an appendage of some sort around his head, sending sparks everywhere. The two hermits ran away, this time not to the river, but deeper into the forest. And the demon did something, focused on them. I don't know, and sent a fireball after each of them, and then more fire followed. The five of us screamed and ran away, while Shadow Man was focused on those two. We barely made it back to town before the fire was visible everywhere, lighting up the sky.
Scary stuff.
Immensely.
Doris, can I ask something?
What?
What made you talk to us now? Why not tell someone sooner?
Well, James died recently. We hadn't talked to him in years. We all drifted after that night to keep it a secret. You want to know how he died?
How?
Lung cancer.
Did he smoke too?
I don't know. But for both of us to die of the same thing, it's a little strange. And based on how Shadow Man kills his victims, I can't say it hasn't crossed my mind that for summoning him, this is our punishment. We're all gonna get snuffed out.
Unless someone stops Shadow Man.
No. Oh, sweetheart, I tried. Saying the chant again didn't do anything.
Well, maybe... I don't know, maybe you need the same number of people as summoned him?
You let me know how that goes.
What was the chant?
No. I don't recall at this point. Blocked it out. I think the kids are saying it nowadays, though. They have no idea where it came from. Now, if your boys will excuse me, my nap is calling. And with any luck, it's the last one I'll ever take.
Thank you, Doris.
Now you know the truth. I hope you do some good with it.
Doris, it's been a real pleasure.
Doris died 3 days later. We really cut it close with that information almost being lost to the ether. Francis being part of the group that summoned Shadow Man explains a lot about why he did what he did. I understand now why he was so hell-bent on preventing another murder when he lived off the land on his own and had no real connection to the town recently. If he still felt responsible for the demon, for lack of a better word, that he unleashed on the town, it makes sense he'd want to step in where he could. It's a shame we never got to speak with him before Shadow Man found him first. There was one thing about his death still on my mind. The salt he'd spilled around himself, like he was trying to form a circle but didn't get a chance to finish it. It reminded me of David mentioning Zachary covered in salt the night they left Garrison. There is a segment of supernatural lore that suggests salt can be used to purify and ward off evil spirits. If Shadow Man is in fact a demon of sorts, the salt, it seems, could keep him away. Omari and I called David once again for a brief follow-up.
You said Zachary was cooking something the night you came back from the bar. Do you know what he was making?
No, it got messed up and then we ended up leaving.
And you said he was covered in flour, salt, and milk, right?
Yeah.
Salt, though. You're sure there was salt in it?
Yeah. The little blue container was open nearby. There was definitely salt in it. Why?
Okay. We're just checking the theory, actually. It might be nothing.
David, did you see Zachary carrying anything around with him while he left that night?
Like what? We packed our bags and left as quickly as possible.
Like a piece of obsidian, a chunk of it.
Kevin Wright said he saw Zachary with it when he left the forest.
Huh. Well, there was a piece on his desk that I found after he died. I had to clean his room and, there it was. I'd never seen it before. But I didn't think anything of it.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
If the salt theory holds up, it seems like it may have saved Zachary's life that first night when he was seeing Shadow Man. And it makes sense. Why else would Shadow Man not attack him while he was in town? Why wait until he was all the way back in Minneapolis? Ava had been out doing research with Jesse about demons and how to get rid of them. They'd spent the past few days at the library poring over sketchy websites and whatever text they could find to get an overview of the situation. After her trip down the rabbit hole, she called and asked to meet with us once again. Within 20 minutes, her and Jesse were at the motel room with us.
They gave you the same room back?
With a very nice discount.
I'm not sure I trust them at this point.
Oh, we don't. But hopefully this is all wrapping up.
Mm-hmm. I'll be sad to see you go.
You can for sure visit. Don't be a stranger.
Look, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves anyway. Shadow Man's still out there.
Well, Shadow Man is what we call him, but what's his actual name?
I hope that's a rhetorical question because I...
Wait, you found out what his name is?
It was Jesse, actually.
I just kept thinking about how he only kills kids. And I thought that was so weird. There are plenty of adults in this town that were born on lunar eclipses. And yet none of his victims is over 18.
So, she looked into that. Which demons are linked to child murder?
And the main one that came up was called Moloch.
Moloch? From the Bible?
Exactly.
He's associated with child sacrifice, generally through fire.
Huh.
And when people die from fires, it's not usually the flames that kill them. It's the smoke.
Oh, I see.
But there's so much more.
Each child sacrificed made him stronger. He killed, had a recovery period where he got stronger, and then killed again just a little sooner than last time. Like working out. Each kill was making him stronger. That's why the murders got closer together.
Except for Zachary. He hadn't intended to hunt Zachary. He wasn't born on a lunar eclipse. It wasn't a lunar eclipse. And he wasn't even from this area. Something about Zachary was different. And it threw off Moloch's scent.
Well, he just killed Francis last week, though, so he must be down for the count for a bit.
I don't think so. Francis was here when it happened, and Moloch's just killed Aiden a couple weeks ago. Whatever he got from Aiden, he's stronger now. It seems he won't kill people unless it's a lunar eclipse, or they do something to piss him off.
And the people who piss him off don't have to be kids.
And there's one more thing we found.
But Ava and Jesse coming through.
I looked it up. The rhyme, the one the kids all teach each other, it didn't always exist in that form. Two lines were added at the start and at the end. The original version went, salted earth, hollowed ground, fire rage neath lunar shroud, sacrifice, a life cut short, free the scourge to hunt for more. Without the random bullshit about going inside or him crossing the bridge, it sounds like a chant, like a summoning ritual.
So we've known this whole time how they summoned him.
But how do we get rid of him?
I wonder if Emmett would know.
Oh, God.
Blythe?
Yeah, his family is responsible for the salted clearing being there in the first place. He told us himself his family used to do rituals there.
I'm sure we could figure it out just fine without talking to him again.
He's got to go. There has to be a way. And if Emmett knows it or can help us figure it out, I say we talk to him.
His family is pretty weird, though. My grandma used to visit them all the time.
What if she gets back in the game and takes one for the team? She can talk to them and report back.
She moved away after my grandpa died a few years ago. I haven't spoken to her since before she left. She might not even be alive for all I know.
Love a tight-knit family unit.
I say we go talk to him again.
Only if you two come as well.
Fine.
I'm in.
We all climbed into the rental and headed back to the Blythe estate. On the way there, I realized we hadn't given him any warning of our arrival. But we didn't have a week for a written and postmarked letter to reach him and then await his response. Things were moving quickly, and we needed to speak with him immediately. When we arrived, he was on the porch again, staring at us, coming up the drive as if he'd been expecting us. Unsettling, to say the least, but if he was open to another interview, I'd take what I could get.
I figured you'd be back.
We don't want to be.
I hope we're not disturbing you, but we really need your help.
How so?
Spells, rituals, chants, all of that. It's so complicated how they work.
Yeah, it's not really.
I'll put it this way. We found out the chant that was used to summon Moloch, Shadow Man, whatever. Can we use that to get rid of him?
No, the intent is for it to summon.
So then how do we find the right chant to get rid of him?
Is there even a chant to get rid of him?
There isn't.
Well, then how do we get rid of him? If there's one that can bring him, there has to be one that can get rid of him.
Well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of things, once they're done, can't be undone.
What would you do to get rid of him if there's no chant to do that?
Make one.
What?
Make a chant. They made this one. We made all ours.
But that... how would that work?
Magic isn't tied to specific words. It's tied to intent and location.
The clearing.
The tether. Everyone's saying the same thing with the same intent at the clearing. Offering a sacrifice. Of course it worked.
You're saying we can just make anything up?
That does kind of make sense, though. Why else are English words summoning a biblical demon? English didn't exist then.
She gets it.
Wait, so all these years, children around here have been saying the chant but not summoning another demon because...
they didn't do it on hallowed ground. They didn't offer the sacrifice.
That's all we need to do?
Match the sacrifice that was originally offered. Do it at the clearing. All say the same thing. You'll destroy the tether.
You know, you keep saying that. Tether.
You mentioned that last time we were here, too.
It's what allows things to stay here once they're summoned. A ritual would break it down, no problem.
Didn't realize it applied to Shadow Man.
It applies to all spirits.
So if we do that, get rid of the tether, Shadow Man will be gone?
Yeah, but he'll fight like hell to protect it. Something to consider.
And what about the eclipse?
What about it?
Do we have to wait for one?
Nope.
Well, how can you be sure?
I've done enough rituals to know what works and what doesn't.
And what about salt?
It purifies things.
But will it hold a demon back?
Yeah. You can't cross the line of salt.
What about through treetops? If he's high enough...
then... yeah, he'll get you.
How are we supposed to do this in the forest?
Plan your moves out now. Once he knows you're trying to get rid of him, and he'll feel it. He'll come for you, so... be prepared.
Fuck, man.
Would something like this work? Moloch killed and Moloch hurt. His reign will end. His name we curse. The demon runs, but cannot hide. Hell will come collect its price.
I don't see why not. The intent is clear.
Wait, you just came up with that?
I could do better, maybe.
No, it was fine. I just thought it was going to take us hours to think of something.
Good job with that.
Thanks.
Well, it's near dinner time. My grandparents aren't going to feed themselves.
We took the hint, and we all piled back into the rental to head back to the motel. On the way there, we discussed what we'd learned.
So where are we going to find a cat to sacrifice?
Is that what they sacrificed last time?
Yeah, that's what Doris told us.
I don't want to kill a cat.
Well, neither do we. But how else do we get rid of Shadow Man?
He did say it has to match the sacrifice.
Huh.
What?
Nothing, it's just that... how does the sacrifice work exactly? When Doris was telling us about the cat, she said that even before the blood hit the earth, the ground started shaking and the lava appeared. So, is it the blood that matters, or just a death?
Oh. No.
Oh, no what?
I don't think the cat was the sacrifice.
It had to be. They did it right
no,
there.
No, Margaret Lee had been buried there minutes earlier.
Oh, no.
I think that she was the sacrifice. They just didn't know it.
Well, we can't do a human sacrifice to get rid of him.
It might be the only way for the ritual to work.
Child sacrifice. And that's why Moloch was the one that came when they called.
They couldn't have known that would happen, though.
No one could have.
So what do we do?
Well, there's only one other thing that comes to mind, and who knows if it'll even work.
Lay it on us.
The tether. I keep thinking about what Emmett said, and the way he talked about it, like it's not some metaphorical thing. What if there's an actual physical tether?
Any ideas?
The obsidian. He's clearly protective of it. He chased down Zachary across state lines after he took a chunk of his mound, and then the murder stopped for longer than normal.
And you think it weakened him?
Who knows?
Francis had chunks of it with him when we found him.
Which would explain why he was killed last week and not years ago. Maybe Francis realized this and started testing his theory.
I just wasn't quick enough with the salt.
And then what Doris said about the two hermits trying to throw water on the lava.
He left all the others alone, even after all these years.
It's gotta be the obsidian. That's the tether.
Okay. Fair assessment. But how do we get rid of it if he's gonna kill us for trying to get rid of it?
It's a huge mound.
It goes about 4 feet into the dirt. So if we all got pickaxes or something like Francis...
Or we blow it up.
Huh?
The dynamite.
That's so reckless.
We blow it up all at once. Shadow Man won't have time to react.
Right, and how are you getting this dynamite from the mine to the clearing without blowing yourself up?
If all of us take a couple sticks,
A couple sticks? Oh, like it's nothing? You realize they could blow up on their own at any point. They're extremely volatile. Maybe while we're climbing out of the mine, for instance.
Or even just as we're placing it against the obsidian.
Okay, so we have to risk killing ourselves or definitely kill a child. Are there any other options?
I don't want to go back to the mine.
Why don't we try the pickaxe option?
No, he'll kill us while we're doing it. That's a very long process.
We'll be on the salted earth. He can't touch us.
You heard Emmett. He could move through the treetops or essentially climb over it. Whatever we do, it has to be fast. So it's either the ritual or the dynamite.
What the fuck did I get you into, Jesse? I'm so sorry.
He killed your sister. You want to get rid of him? I'm all in.
It's your call, Ava.
Well, it's not as if I'm going to vote for a child sacrifice.
Dynamite, then?
It has to be.
We decided we'd meet up early the next morning to head to the Belford Mine. There was no curfew anymore, so being back by a certain time wasn't as vital. But none of us wanted to risk another night in the forest. The hike there was essentially the same as it was last time, except Ava tied bits of fabric to the trees as we made our way up so we wouldn't lose our place on the way back and have a repeat of our previous visit. Inside, the mine was exactly as we'd left it. With Francis no longer around, no one was going in or out, even on occasion. We followed our same path deep into the mine, making much better time since we knew exactly where we were headed. At long last, after about an hour and a half of shuffling in the dark, we found the crate of dynamite we'd discovered before. We lifted the lid again and started figuring out what to do with the supplies inside. We decided we'd take 10 sticks. Maybe it would be too many, but I'd rather have too many than not enough. I'd never used dynamite before, so I had no concept for how explosive it can be, but I figured what we took should be plenty to remove a boulder roughly 4 feet square and 8 feet long. All of us had brought backpacks loaded with general store shirts to cushion the sticks as we carried them back to the clearing. This was wildly irresponsible and ultimately a terrible idea, but it was our only idea. And that's the sole reason we went through with it. Shadow Man had to go, one way or another. The trek back to the car, and then the slow, winding drive back toward Garrison and the clearing, was one of the most stressful times of my life. None of us spoke as we all held our bags in the air, acting as a suspension system to prevent any bumps in the road from causing an unwanted reaction. About a half hour of collectively holding our breaths later, we arrived at the pull-off for the clearing. Another cautious trip through the brambles and twigs on the forest floor, and we were finally at the clearing. The place seemed, as usual, almost deceptively peaceful. There in the middle was the 4-foot-high mound of obsidian, notably missing more chunks than the last time I was there. Thank you for your service, Francis. And right beside it was the hole I dug into the ground with Barbara not so long ago. I had almost expected to see police tape around the clearing from when Barbara told them about Margaret Lee's body, but it seemed they never looked into the tip. Which I suppose was right in line with the general corruption and incompetence stemming from that department. Why look into something when the whole family at that point was dead and it could mess with their drug ring? In other words, why do the right thing? It had all come down to this moment. If this didn't work, not only would Shadow Man still be around, he would likely kill us for going after his obsidian, but we had to try.
Okay, let's carefully put our bags down away from each other, and then one by one we'll put some pieces on the mound, and hopefully it'll just blow it apart.
Okay, I've got the salt ready. I think only one of us should ever leave the circle at a time.
And we should make it way back there. I don't want to be anywhere close to the blast radius of obsidian shards.
We followed through and got everything set up. Omari wanted to be the one to place the dynamite, so once we were all a safe distance away and inside a ring of salt, he opened his backpack and pulled out all of the sticks he'd brought. He positioned them in the hole beside the mound and around the sides. And then he grabbed Ava's and Jesse's, each a couple at a time, and placed them at different spots nearby as well. That should have been it. But rather than coming back, he opened my bag. We'd agreed to save some in case the first round didn't work, but he wasn't taking any chances.
Omari, what are you doing?
I think we only got one shot at this. It's all or nothing.
No, we need to save some in case there's still some obsidian left.
If there's still obsidian left, he'll be here and he'll make sure we don't get another chance to get rid of him.
Omari!
He might be right.
Well, of course he might be. I don't want him to blow himself up, though. Omari!
No! Stay over there! I've got this!
What is that?
Omari, he's coming!
I just saw something up there.
Omari, light it!
He's above the clearing. Look!
Omari!
He can't touch you while you're on the salted earth. Just stay put!
There's branches above me. Oh, he's gonna get me.
Wait, don't light it now. You can't leave.
Finn! He's gonna get me.
Don't you fucking dare light that dynamite, Omari.
No, Finn, you can't leave the circle.
Ava, let me. I need to help him.
Let him light it. Omari!
Don't light it!
Oh my god! He's chasing you!
Get Omari. Down! Finn, get down!
Omari!
Finn!
Obliterated, just... There's no more. Omari? Are you... Please don't be dead. I thought you were... I thought he got you.
He did. I can feel him in me. It burned.
And he's gone now?
I think so.
I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, what a good death that would have been.
Don't say that.
You're okay? None of the shrapnel hit you?
I think this tree blocked most of it.
That obsidian is just completely destroyed. There's no more...
He's not gone. Oh, fuck. We need to put that out.
He's gone, I know it. He was inside me, there's no way he would have just left.
So what the hell is happening?
I think it's from before.
How? That doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean... It's from the last fire.
That's not possible.
It is. The fire that burned out the mine. Barbara told me it's still burning underground. I think we just brought it back to the surface.
Fuck. We need to help put it out.
Found in Mill Creek.
Gotcha.
Are you good to help?
Maybe I'll call the fire department rather than moving right now.
Whatever you can do to help.
The firefighters arrived a little while later, but we were able to keep the fire at bay by running to and from Mill Creek with our water bottles and putting out what we could. It wasn't perfect, but the fire stayed under control long enough for an adequate response to be mounted. Within a few hours, the final embers had been drowned and Garrison had once again survived a potentially dangerous wildfire. Omari and I, for our part, went home and showered first of all, but then we started packing our things. Shadow Man, or Moloch, whichever you prefer, was gone. And therefore the mystery we'd come to solve, the questions we'd set out to answer, had been completed. All of the blanks were now filled in. Margaret Lee went missing. Who did it? Why? And where'd she end up? The fire that almost consumed the town. Who started it? And why? Shadow Man... The serial killer hunting the naughty children of the town. Who was he? Why did he hunt the children? And why did he kill them the way he did? When he did? All of these answers we knew now. And all it took was a thorough investigation by people actually trying to get to the bottom of the mystery. Everyone we interviewed helped in some way, and for as prickly as the town seemed when we started our investigation, I learned to love how strongly they cared for each other and their willingness to close ranks to protect their own from outsiders. That's not something you'll find so easily in LA. I promise you that. Jordan and Omari stayed in contact over the following weeks until Jordan met a boy much closer to home. Omari was surprisingly upset about it, considering all of the guys he had access to in LA. In his words, quote, "It's about the connection we had. Small-town life moves at such a different pace from a large city that you do ultimately feel like you're able to connect with people on a deeper level. Ava, Omari, and I have video chats at least once a month to keep in contact and hear of any new rumblings about mysterious goings-on in Garrison. So far, we've heard nothing concerning."
How are you and Jesse doing?
We're good. Still figuring myself out, but I'm glad to have someone who's sure of herself to help me along the way.
That's good. So Ava, this is the final clip. Do you have any last words?
Oh no. I had a lot of fun with you two, and I hope I get to see you again soon.
Well, come visit.
There's an idea.
Closing thoughts, Omari?
These truly were some strange trails.
Oh my God, shut up.
Maybe the strange trails were the friends we made along the way.
Ugh, okay, I'm hanging up. Goodbye.
Bye.
Strange Trails stars Matt Winton as Finn Mitchell, Dominic Kim as Omari Mason, and Ashley Every as Ava Cook. Additional performances by Veronica Kim as Jesse Abel, Riley DeCoke as Jordan Harris, Amy Margolis as Doris Powell, Alex Petrovich as David Scott, and Dirk Apsher as Emmett Blythe. Created, directed, and edited by Colton Woods. Script supervisor, Fernando Collazo. Special thanks to Katie Joyce and Courtney Woods. Follow us on Instagram at Strange Trails Podcast or visit us at strangetrailspodcast.com for more info. If you like what you hear, ratings and reviews really help the show.